endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Of the three Lenten medicines, prayer and almsgiving are pretty straightforward. If we're focused on a relationship with God, we're going to want to make the time for conversation with Him. We're obviously, if we're making that time of conversation with Him in the right way, we're going to be transformed little by little to become more like Him, and that will have the impact in the charity we have for all those whom He loves. So prayer and almsgiving are pretty straightforward. What we need the most help grasping is the purpose of fasting, because not only are there many who don't see the need to fast because of a rampant hedonism today, but then there are others who spiritually only get one aspect of the angle of fasting. And so on this third day of the Lenten season, after Jesus, 2 days ago on Ash Wednesday, talked to us about the importance of fasting, that when you fast, do it in a certain way. Don't do it for show. Do it for and together with your Father. Don't cover your face with white powder to make yourself look pallid so that everybody else will recognize that you're fasting. But wash your face. Try to let nobody else notice it. He gave us a couple of the principles there. But today and tomorrow, he's going to get much more deeply in to the purpose of fasting. Let's look first at the Gospel. The disciples of John the Baptist approached Jesus. We know that when the Pharisees approached Jesus, they were often trying to catch him. The disciples of John the Baptist approached Jesus. They were coming with a sincere question. Why do we and the Pharisees fast all the time, but your disciples do not fast? There was already a certain respect in their question. They didn't say, "And you don't fast," because they had already gotten a sense that Jesus might be exceptional. And probably those rumors were true, that he had fasted 40 days before he met John at the Jordan River and the rest of it. But why don't your disciples fast? The reason for a Jew to fast was twofold. One was mourning and reparation for sins, and the second was in supplication, when you were asking for a particular prayer. And that's key for us to grasp Jesus' answers. Answer: can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? It's the first principle. Jesus is the fulfillment of what Isaiah and Hosea had prophesied, that God would espouse to himself a people as his bride. And this expression, wedding guests, doesn't do justice to the real term. The Greek there is sons of the wedding chamber. Best translation would be, can the groomsmen, can the members of the wedding party mourn when the bridegroom's with them? And this is talking about the old wedding processions. Probably know, and because of studying how Mary and Joseph were married, but before they lived together, that the ancient betrothal rite was the exchange of consent such that they were really married. But then the groom would go and work for a year or two to make all the money necessary, not only for their cohabitation, but also for the 8-day wedding reception. But to cut down on the guest list, they would go out in the middle of the night. It was customary that a herald would say the bridegroom is coming. But only those who were up in the middle of the night when he would come and follow them into the wedding reception were capable of exalting for those 8 days. But as the bridegroom and the sons of the wedding chamber went on out to get the bride, that was not a funeral cortege. That was an incredibly joyous thing in which they were rejoicing in the love of the bridegroom. So Jesus asks, can the sons of the wedding chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? That the fundamental response of a Christian is joy because the bridegroom is with us. And that's going to influence everything that we do. Second principle, though. The days will come when the bridegroom is, in the Greek, ripped away from them, and then they will fast. And this was referring to what happened in Gethsemane and then Calvary, as the bridegroom was forcibly ripped, not only away, but apart. It was on that day that there was mourning. Great mourning, great fasting. But we can ask, why do we still fast today? Didn't that ripped away bridegroom come back 40 hours later, risen from the dead? Didn't he promise to be with us always until the end of time? Isn't the same Jesus who said those words substantially present in the tabernacle here in this chapel? So why do we fast if the bridegroom is still with us, if we're sons of the wedding chamber? Why do we go without food? The answer to that question is because even though the bridegroom is with us, we're not entirely with him. Even though he's no longer being ripped away from us, we rip ourselves at least partially away from him. And so we fast in order to bring into harmony with him those parts of us that are not yet in communion, especially those parts in us that are not rejoicing over the Lord's presence. Even, for example, when he's present to us in suffering. Even when he's present to us in the distressing disguise of someone who annoys us. We fast in mourning and supplication for a total communion so that our union with the bridegroom might allow his joy to be in us and our joy to be brought to perfection. We fast, in essence, in order that the Lord's own hunger becomes our hunger throughout our life, so that his will might become our great plea. In order to know for what the Lord hungers, we turn to the prophet Isaiah today. If you are listening carefully to the opening prayer, we ask God the Father for the grace that through our bodily observances this Lent, we may do them sincerely, with a truthful heart. We're not just going through bodily motions, but we're doing them according to our purpose. And God sent the prophet Isaiah to his people to let them know that they were fasting inappropriately. They were fasting insincerely. Cry out full-throated and unsparingly, God tells Isaiah. Lift up your voice like a trumpet blast. Tell my people their wickedness, the house of Jacob, their sins. What's their wickedness? What are their sins? Seems like a total non sequitur. They seek me day after day. They desire to know my ways. Like a nation that has done what is just and not abandoned the law of their God. They ask me to declare what is due to them. Doesn't seem like there are any problems there. Here it comes. Why do we fast and you don't see it? Afflict ourselves and you take no note. We're doing all of this, Lord, and it seems like it's making no difference. And then God tells him why it's making no difference. Lo, on your fast day, you carry out your own pursuits. You're not really doing it for me. This is just a small little part of your spiritual practices, thinking that I'm going to bless your own pursuits rather than try to hone you toward my pursuits. You drive all your laborers. You're harsh to those who relate to you, and you expect me to treat you differently. Your fast ends how? Not in acts of piety, not in acts of love toward God and neighbor. Your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw. What you need to see there in Isaiah's language is the way bears tear each other apart with a wicked claw. That's the way your fast ends. They make you more proud. They make you more focused on yourself. They bring you apart from others rather than bringing you toward others. Would that today, God says, you might fast so as to make your voice heard on high. There's a different way to do it, a sincere way to do it. And God wants our fasting to make our voices heard on high. So then God tells us how. This is the manner of fasting I wish. This is the way I want you to keep a day of penance. Is it that a man bow his head like a reed and lie in sackcloth and ashes? No. God says, do you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? This, rather, is the fasting I wish. Releasing those who are bound unjustly. Untying the thongs of the yoke. Setting the free oppressed. Breaking every yoke. In other words, looking for those who are captive, those who are subjugated, those who are enslaved to anything, and caring for their needs. Sharing your bread with those who are hungry. Recognizing that what God has given us is not for our own selfish pursuits, but a lot of the times He's made us depositories of His own providence so that we can share in His providential solicitude for others. Sheltering the oppressed and the homeless. Opening things up for those who have need. Clothing the naked when you see them. Not turning your back on your own. Isaiah finishes the whole thing by talking in a special way about the way we care for our family members. Never turning our back on our own, but having a special love of neighbor even there. This is the way our light will break forth like the dawn. Our wounds will be healed. Our vindication shall go before us. God's glory will surround us even in the back. Then we'll call and the Lord will answer and say, here I am. Jesus, when the bridegroom came, He wanted us with joy to fast in this way, to bring our entire life in communion with His will, so that our fasting will lead to our sharing His hunger for all of these things. Jesus simplified it for us. All of the things that God was asking through Isaiah, Jesus Himself would say was the whole purpose He had come when He went to the synagogue in Nazareth. That He had come to set the captives free, to return sight to the blind, etc. Came to simplify it even further. Not only would we share His mission of doing this, but He wanted us to see whenever we did any of these deeds produced by our fasting, to increase our hunger for those who are starving. For example, we would be caring for Him, clothing the naked when you see them. I was naked and you clothed me. Sharing your bread with the hungry. I was hungry and you fed me. Caring for those who are in prison. Setting the oppressed free. Releasing those bound unjustly. Not turning your back on your own. I was sick and you cared for me. You were there for me. No matter what circumstances would be. This is what's ultimately supposed to be the effect of our fasting. That when we get beyond our own bodily needs and feeding the beast within, we can open ourselves up much more to what God's real will is. What God is starving for, so that we might share those same hunger pains, and so that we will seek in feeding the Lord's hunger to see these types of actions actually allow His providential care in the various ways He seeks to give nutrition to a hungry world to happen. Today, as we come forward here to the altar, we remember that the Lord always wanted us to fast for the bridegroom, to recognize those parts of our life that are not yet fully in communion, so that hungering for Him we can do this in His memory. And then be able to say to others like He said to us, this is my body, this is my blood, meant to feed your hunger, need to feed your thirst, just like Jesus has done for us first. We are the sons of the wedding chamber, and the bridegroom is in fact with us. Let us continue to hunger for Him to be fully with us and to make us His joyful emissaries, making Him and His love come to completion in those we meet. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and He will say, here I am.